Excuse me, just let me talk for one moment. What I would like to do is to finish the process that we have begun to hear one more person speak in favor, and then we will vote, and then then we can amend.
Wait,
okay?
Madam Chair, don't we need one against?
Yeah.
We've had two against. We've had Ray and William against. We've had Kalonji in favor.
And Alice.
In favor.
Alice has been in favor.
Alice was the maker of the
motion. Alice just made the motion. Okay, Carol, go ahead.
I think that it's inappropriate to substitute anyone but the election supervisor for making our membership list comport with the bylaws, because he is required to certify that they did. It's not about amicability. It's about who is ultimately responsible for certifying this election and making sure that our membership lists include everyone who should be getting ballots. In the last election, they did not include everyone who should be getting ballots. And so we need to be extra careful this time. And I think the election supervisors need the authority to ensure that it happens correctly.
All right. Now, the end. This is the process we agreed on. So please, let's vote. Do you want to reread it?
You want
no.
to make the amendment?
No.
Do people understand what we're voting on? We're voting on number two, up or down.
As the original, correct?
Original.
Original.
Okay. So let's do that, and if it fails, we can amend it. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Is there some reason I should call on you?
I move that we extend for another con, because I think that it would be just time-consuming to vote on it now. I would like to hear Mark's opinion. I think it might simplify these things.
It takes two-thirds to change our agreement to go to pro and two con.
But we didn't do two-thirds to make the agreement.
No, once you make the agreement, it's binding, and you can't...
Well, yes and no.
All right. Does anyone want a second, Teresa?
Yeah, I second it.
All right. Let's vote on that. We need two-thirds. Okay, quickly.
Quickly, you guys are making such a mess. I'm having a hard time keeping up.
Are we voting on one more con?
Yes. Yes.
Motion to extend. Is there any objection to that?
No objection.
Okay. Well, that's easy. All right, one more con.
Okay, I'm going to make this quick. Both in number one and number two, one of the things I'm concerned about is and I agree about independent elections and all that, but the thing is that we did not address is the question, if the national election supervisor turns out to be someone other than we necessarily thought they would be, if in fact they are instituting policies and procedures which are extremely costly, well beyond the budget, or if there are disagreements with the executive director or other senior management about procedure, we said, well, if there's a problem, they can always come to the board. Why don't we just put that in the language? If there's a problem, come to the board. We can't assume that they will of their own accord. I just would like to add that language. If there is a disagreement, that they come to the board.
I think that's worthy.
May I speak to that, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Who is that?
David. The thing that I'm concerned about in that is that the board is are interested parties, and that there are going to be instances where, for example, board members may very well be up for election in those elections. So the whole idea of independence is that issue doesn't come forward. I'm wishing there was some language that distinguishes between judgment calls and certain other classes of things, but what I think is we're going to need to pass a certain number of these and then modify them for clarity's sake later on. I don't think we can do it on this call. We'll be here all night. But my issue with it is that the board are interested parties.
Point of order.
But we're interested parties as we're voting right now. That doesn't exempt us from our fiduciary responsibilities because some of us are running. Then we might as well call off the whole vote. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but the point is, let's just put some provision in there saying if there's a problem, we come back to this partial body called the board.
Yes. Point of order. We've had our pro and con.
Yes, we have. We need to vote this up or down and move on.
Could I have on one con more? Bobby here.
Just on the I'm afraid not. I think it's time to listen to the chair.
You know, I'd really like to.
Let's vote.
Like to talk about it in financial terms, if I could. I'm more concerned about what this will cost. We are now.
I call the question.
All right.
I do too.
Let's just vote.
Second.
No, if there's no disagreement.
I object.
All right.
The question was called.
So I'd like a vote on it.
All right. How many people who are in favor of calling the question?
15.
All right. Roger, you're going to have to call a roll.
Uh-huh. Hang on. I had it all set up for something else here. Dave?
Abstain.
Teresa?
A vote. Yes, is for ending discussion?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
yes.
correct.
Yes.
Henry?
Yes.
Sam?
No.
Gerald?
Yes.
Yep. I'm going all out of alphabetical
did you say,
order.
Did you say Gerald?
Yeah, I did. Hold on here.
Okay.
Indulge me here for a minute, folks. I'm sorry. This is...
Okay, Dave, Teresa, Henry, Sam...
Okay, wait, I have Dave as abstaining, Teresa yes, Henry yes, Sam no, and now I'm up to Sonali.
Yes.
Ray?
No.
Ambrose?
No.
Miguel?
Yes.
Manning, yes. Kanji?
No.
Sarv?
No.
Mark?
No.
Julie, Vicky.
Was that Vicky?
Yeah, Vicky.
Yes. Yes.
Gerald.
Yep.
Wendy.
Yes.
Serena.
No.
Alice.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
No, I'm hungry.
William.
Dinner.
No.
We have more food.
So yeses are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10, and no's are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's that 2/3 or not?
No. I got 11 yes.
11 is not 2/3.
It fails.
I have a point of information.
Lonnie
Hicks, could you email your financial... Can you email your financial concerns to the board? I'm very interested in hearing your concerns.
They have been mailed to the board on the 18th.
Can I speak for myself?
Yes.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Lonnie, please. You have the floor.
Thank you. Well, you know, first of all, as you all probably know, but you certainly see my financials, on elections, we spent about $180,000 on the first election, and the second one will cost an additional $160,000, according to the election supervisor. We will be, you know, we'll be spending close to $350,000 on elections. There must be some real budgetary controls around this, and a lot of the items that, you know, $350,000 is a lot of money, and it will go more if we look at it as an overall governance. Now, I'm suggesting that any motion that is likely to have a financial impact has to be stated. Now, if you're passing motions and we don't know what they will cost us, somebody has to figure that out so that this board can come back and say, I like this motion, but before, you know, I need to know how much it costs. And that election supervisor has to be included in being responsible financially along with everybody else. There should be no czar who can spend as much money as they want.
Madam Chair,
Madam Chair,
I like an amendment.
Wait a minute.
Okay, Lonnie, are you done?
Yeah, and I think that as I suggested to this board before, an audit of the membership is not free.
1 minute.
Costs money. And if you also look at some of the other motions that I see on the paper, none of them carry any notion or suggestion. Of what
Madam Chair, may I respond?
Carol,
Madam Chair,
I would
sorry.
Like to say,
hey,
can
thank
I
you, Lonnie.
Own it? They're jumping in on me. I was going to finish. There'd be a couple of sentences, one more sentence. And I know that you don't want to take it up at this point, but what I'm suggesting is that they be costed out.
Yes.
And that final approval around it be done with by the board with a full knowledge of what it will cost. Otherwise, it's just not being responsible.
Well, Madam Chair, an amendment.
A moment, please. I believe we did ask for costs.
Yes.
Yes, they did. To us at this, before this meeting.
On Friday, they were to arrive, and they were... That was exactly what the board had asked for which this meeting was
And I'm
scheduled.
Recommending against it, is what I'm saying to you, on the level of cost we've already contracted for. We need a cheaper way to get this done, is what
but,
I'm recommending.
Lonnie, the point,
Chair,
Lonnie,
David,
the point
Madam
is
Madam
that
Madam Chair.
At the national board meeting, we asked to have the cost effects of these motions within 5 days, and we didn't receive it. That, I think that's what Alice is referring to. But, Madam Chair, I do have an amendment that I think could solve it so we can pass this one.
All right.
We have to compromise somewhere. Okay, I would just take the whole paragraph as it reads, except one additional sentence, which, again, is in the event that the National Election Supervisor and the Executive Director and or CFO have a significant disagreement regarding cost or implementation, the matter will be referred immediately to the board.
Second.
Madam Chair.
Okay.
Be recognized, David.
David, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to have a substitute motion that the election supervisor working with the executive director shall submit a budget indicating expenses for the process to the board, and upon approval has the authority, as long as they operate within that budget, to execute the policies.
I second that motion.
Point of order.
Wait a minute.
Point
we have
order.
An amendment that has already been seconded. And
so was mine.
Yeah, so
I seconded Mark's amendment.
And
mine's
a substitute.
Mike, or David has made a substitute motion, which I believe was seconded.
I have a point of order on, a point of information on David's.
Yes, go ahead, William.
The process, that needs to be defined in your motion.
Basically, they'll have the idea is that they'll have authority to spend the amount approved by the board for to answer your question, the entire elections process.
Well, no, we're on item two, which has to do with an audit of the
database.
Of the database.
Okay. In that case, thank you, William. In that case, agree upon a budget for that item.
For the independent audit process.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Would you restate it,
Dave?
Well, I want to be clear if it's in order, because earlier somebody said, no, you can't amend an amendment.
I know. It gets awfully confusing as we try to go through 12 of these, and we're on number two.
I'll yield for us to vote on Mark's and then bring mine up if we vote Mark's down,
all right.
Unless Mark is willing to accept my formulation.
He can't. It's been seconded. It belongs to
the body. Can we vote?
Mark, could you read it?
Mark, can you reread yours?
Oh, boy. okay, in the event, that the national elections, you got me, Roger?
I'm trying.
Okay, let me know when you
I'm not a typist, even though
I know.
You all think I'm the secretary or something like that.
No. just tell me when, and then I'll try to do it.
In the event that the national
election supervisor and the
executive director
and slash or chief financial officer
had a conflict.
Yeah,
that's as far as I got.
Significant conflict regarding cost and or procedures, comma, the matter will be referred immediately to the PMB.
And we're talking only about this audit of the...
Only.
Yeah, okay.
Only.
Okay. Is everybody clear?
Regarding cost or procedures, the what? The matter or the what should be referred?
The matter, or you can put the conflict, the matter will be referred to the Pacific immediately. To the Pacific National Board.
Immediately.
I would like to discuss this amendment.
Teresa.
Let me go back to, I think it was William's, it wasn't an amendment, but his comment earlier that maybe this should be put in charge of the ED, should supervise keeping the database accurate and up to date. That's the thought. I'm wondering if we aren't maybe giving a responsibility to someone that might be with the organization only 1 year, and I'm wondering if it might better be put in the hands of, or, you know, the responsibility for this be in charge, be put
this
in the
hands of.
This is
not germane to
the
amendment.
No.
Exactly right.
It's germane to the main motion, so we have to vote on the amendment first.
I'm sorry, Teresa, I didn't hear the end of that. I'd like Teresa to say that again.
Well, it's a point of order that you have to be germane to the amendment.
But you didn't allow Teresa to finish her comment.
I know, because it was not germane.
Her comment. Well, can we vote on this?
Carol, I disagree, though. I disagree.
Well, the chair then has to rule because I've raised a point of order.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm gonna rule with Carol. I think I just want to vote here, and if we need to try to work through this, and I understand that people are doing their best to be thoughtful about it and to do the right thing, and I'm not trying to rush it, but it's already almost 7:30. We've been here for an hour and a half, and we're only on number two of item three on our agenda. So would really like to vote here.
Okay.
This amendment, please.
Although, Marty, we're doing good because the rest are pretty easy except for four.
Oh, I'm so encouraged.
Don't speak so soon, Mark.
All right, so can we vote on the amendment?
Yes.
It's an amendment. Do people understand what it is?
Yeah, we're not voting on the main motion. We're voting to add this to the main motion.
Yes. And then we'll vote on the main motion if we get that
far. Okay.
And this is Mark's amendment that if there's a significant disagreement between the election supervisor, I'm paraphrasing here, and either the ED or the CFO, that the matter will be referred to immediately.
Yes.
Is that a fair paraphrase?
Yes.
Let's vote on
let's
the
vote.
Amendment. Go ahead, Roger.
Dave?
No.
Teresa?
Yes.
Henry?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Sonali?
Yes.
Ray?
Yes.
Ambrose?
Yes.
Miguel?
Yes.
Roger, yes. Kwanji? Kwanji?
Back to him.
Sarp?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Yes.
Mark is yes. Vicky?
No.
Gerald?
Yes.
Wendy?
No.
Zarina?
Yes.
Alice?
No.
Carol?
Yes.
William?
I have to pass for right now.
Is Kalonji back on? Okay, I don't hear anything from Kalonji. Then the count is... And,
just I passed because I wanted to just quickly restate the motion.
Back to William?
I'm completely lost. I just need the motion one more time. Sorry. Not the whole motion, just the synopsis of it.
This is a motion to amend by Roberts that in the event of the National Election Supervisor, a conflict between the National Election Supervisor, Executive Director, or CFO, that will be referred to immediately to the PNB for consideration.
Oh, yes.
Did I get knocked
out? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. No.
I'll give you one of each if you like.
No, we'll be fine. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Kalonji came back on.
William, you hurt me. No, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mark.
That's all right, William.
Kalonji, can you vote on this?
Yes.
And you have
yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Voting yes?
Yes. My mute messed me up.
Gotcha. So
gotcha.
We have, and I'm sure Miguel will help me count here. We have yeses. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 yes. And no, we have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Five, William.
William and Wendy, 2 W's.
1, 2, 3.
Dave, Vicky, William, Wendy, and Ambrose.
Oh, I'm
Vicky. I mean, Alice.
I'm sorry, Roger.
Somebody else. I think we should have somebody else count for me tonight.
You're doing okay.
I'm just fine with somebody else.
Well, the motion passes.
Roger, I'll
yes.
count.
The amendment passes.
It passes. Number three.
Now we're on to the main motion
as amended.
As amended.
Would you read it for us?
Put on that. Or is there more discussion?
I don't think we need more discussion. This
we
is Nicole Bodin. We already discussed that.
We've done.
Yes.
Can we please vote?
All right, let's do it. Let's vote on the main motion as amended.
Which needs to be read before we vote.
Shall I read?
Yes, okay. Go ahead.
That the National Election Supervisor shall designate a secure independent audit procedure to verify member database accuracy in compliance with the bylaws, and shall supervise the updating of the subscribers and donors list, as well as the paid and unpaid staff lists at each station, to ensure that the membership rolls meet the requirements of the bylaws. The local election supervisors and local station management and staff shall work under the direction of the National Election Supervisor to ensure that the membership lists are as accurate and current as possible. Then the amendment, Roger.
And we're adding to at the end of that, that in the event that the National Election Supervisor, Executive Director, and/or Chief Financial Officer have a significant conflict regarding costs or procedures, the matter will be immediately referred to the Pacifica National Board.
Right. Okay. Is everybody clear now? We're going to vote on this policy recommendation as amended.
Dave?
Yes.
Teresa?
I would like to defer my vote.
Henry?
Yes.
Sam?
I'm going to pass for right now, please.
Sonali?
Yes.
Ray?
Abstain.
Ambrose?
Yes.
Miguel?
Yes.
Roger, yes. Kalonji?
Yes.
Sarv?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Vicky?
Yes.
Gerald?
Yes.
Wendy?
Yes.
Wait, I think I'll be right back.
Zarina?
Yes.
Alice?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
William?
Yeah. Yes.
Coming back to Teresa?
Yes.
And who else had to come back?
Sam,
yes.
That passes. All right, we've cleared number two. All right, we're to number three, Alice.
Okay. That we request of each station that at least once a year in any year in which there is an election, no later than July 31st, the station include an official request for address correction in a regular mailing.
Is this a contentious issue?
I would just point of information. What is a regular mailing? Like a solicitation for funds? What
yes.
is it?
Yes.
Hey, Marty, it's Dan?
Yes, Dan.
I've got some concerns from the base, from many of the stations.
Okay, please.
Which just feel that this kind of detailed issue involving mailings at local station levels, that kind of decision-making should be left to the local stations, to the development directors and or those individuals with organizing the mailings. So that is primarily the concern there, that this is overreaching and too detailed, and that maybe it could be a little less specific. But it sounds like the outcome that the board and the election committee are requesting is that the addresses are updated regularly, and that might be more appropriate in this context.
Madam Chair, I have a question to Dan on that.
Yes.
Two. One is that I agree with, I want to echo what Dave said, I don't know what in a regular mailing means. When is the next scheduled regular mailing so that the address corrections can be received back in time to update the file? And my second question to Dan is, you said you would leave it to local station management, but given that we have this national election supervisor that we've done all this other stuff with, why wouldn't that individual be in charge of making sure? Because, as you know, many people said they didn't get their ballot, they moved, et cetera. Could you address that?
Yeah, a lot of people did say that. And we did some analysis on that, Mark, last year. And obviously folks who didn't get their ballots were really alarmed about that. And we did look at some of the numbers associated with that. And we are looking at a variety of different remedies around the change of address issue, some of which I wrote to the full board about last week. The general managers and development directors have been apprised of that and are trying to take a whole variety of steps to fix the problem and to make sure their address correction procedures are up, you know, are up to date and working better. And there's other steps that we can take, including, you know, some that will cost us money, but relatively minimal that we think we can take.
Chair?
Marty, this is Teresa.
Does that answer your question, Mark?
Okay, just a minute.
As Roger was hoping to be recognized somewhere.
Yes, what I would like to do is to go to two pros and two cons on this and then vote. So Dan has presented what he feels to be a difficulty, and we've sort of elucidated that a bit, and now I'd like to have somebody speak in favor of number three and somebody speak against it.
Roger in favor.
All right, Roger, go ahead.
The language here says that we request. It's not all that committal. It's just the request of each station. It's not ordering or they shall or anything like that. It's a request. So I think it's good that we make this request, and then the stations can say, hey, we've covered it in whatever way, but you see my point.
Great, Roger. Then no objection.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Dan.
Is there a con, or
Teresa, do you have an issue, or...
I would just like to say, several people said that we don't understand what a regular thing is. You know, since I'm at the archives and they did, like, a mailing to, like, the big donors, I would think it'd be obvious that, like, a regular mailing means a mailing to all of the members. So obviously that'd be the best, you know, that would be the most prudent thing to do to get an update of all your addresses. I think that's what they mean by regular.
Hey, would anybody like...
Madam Chair, this is Ray.
Would somebody like to speak against it?
No, I just wanted to... I think that regular in this case means that it wouldn't be a special mailing just for that reason. That
right.
It
not adding cost.
Exactly.
Right.
I just would like to clarify, Madam Chair.
Yes, Dave.
So if somebody... The point of this is if somebody has moved, we need to find that out. So if we mail them and they've moved, then it has to go through whatever process of address forwarding. And my question about whether it was a regular mailing is just... If a regular mailing means our typical solicitation for funds, not everybody opens those things and they just get tossed. But anyhow, I guess Roger's point for me answers the full issue, which is, you know, it's not a mandate, it's a request.
The request. Okay.
Call a question, Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to call a question on that one.
All righty. I think we're ready to vote. Is everybody ready to vote? Do we need to call a question, or are people ready to vote?
I take it back.
It sounds like we're ready to
vote. I think
okay,
so.
Let's do a roll call vote. And okay.
Or can we ask if there's any objection to the first?
Is there any objection to this number three now? Oh, good. Oh, wonderful.
All
right, excellent. Thank you. Now, number four, Alice.
Oh, Roger. I'm prepared to help you count.
That's great. I'm sure you're all helping me count anyway. Thank
Madam
you.
Chair?
Yes.
As much as I love Alice's voice, could I hear Sam read four? I like
sure,
his baritone.
Well, as the maker of the motion, we should read it. Stick with our procedure. And
All right,
Carol.
It would be
fine
just introducing. Okay,
I'm being
forced, I'll
Mark.
Back. Go ahead. I'm
right,
sorry,
here
Alice.
Is the original number four, and as people may remember, I'll later propose a substitute motion for the entire number four. Here is the original. That the policy of the Pacifica Foundation is that any unpaid staff bargaining unit, organization, or union that is recognized by the station management must include all volunteer/unpaid staff who have worked at least 30 hours in the previous 3 months on the production of any radio program produced for the station. In computing unpaid staff production time, 9 hours of preparation time per person shall be computed for each hour of air time. A paid staff employee of the station shall be the volunteer supervisor who will create and be responsible for written assignments for each volunteer, giving the time, date, time, and location of the work done, and including the signature of the supervisor attesting to the work completed. Where programs are produced by a collective or group of persons, the collective or group must submit a roster of persons working on each program to the station manager and the unpaid staff organization, as well as the supervisor volunteers. These records may be validated by the election supervisor in determining eligibility to vote as a, quote, staff member. May I just insert there that the chair of the committee told me that's a typo at the end. It should not be staff member, but listener member. That was a typo that no one had caught.
This is Carol. I'd like to speak against the motion.
Okay. I just before that, Dan Arlani, do you want to speak?
Yeah. Hey, Marty. So quick. Yeah, this would be actually an illegal motion because the Pacifica Foundation or Pacifica Management cannot dictate to Pacifica workers how they organize themselves, how Pacifica workers organize themselves. Our policy, of course, is that we totally respect the workers' right to organize and recognize that right, but we can't get into the details of how they their own organizations are internally structured and what internal rules and regs are. Lonnie, did you have anything to add to that?
Again, intent is always important. And as I understand it, just to clarify intent, is it the intent that the outcome of this, that there will be identification of a class of individuals designated as listener members who then will be able to, I don't understand what the outcome of designating or discovering a listener member that this needs to just the clarification.
Can I respond to that?
Carol,
go ahead. But
I want to speak against this. I was a member of the Elections Review Committee. I know the intent of this was to be a little bit more clear about who is unpaid staff. That's what it's about.
Okay.
And we had tremendous difficulty in the last election identifying unpaid staff or unpaid staff organizations. Certainly at KPFA did not provide a complete list to the election supervisor, and they had to do a new mailing. And there were inconsistencies across the network. I don't think this proposed policy deals with it adequately. We've received some objections to it from the unpaid staff organization at BAI. I think we should take those their objections seriously and go through another election that may be messed up, at which point we may be able to identify the problems a little better. I do believe, however, that the way the proposal is worded is not directing the unpaid staff organization in any way. It's directing the managers as to what kinds of unpaid staff organizations they will recognize. So, you know, I think we need another year of analyzing unpaid staff and how to define it.
May I speak again?
Against it.
This is Miguel. I'd like to speak in favor.
Okay, let's have the point of information and then Miguel.
Okay, the point of information. What is the record date? By what date does it need to be established?
45 days before the mailing, and the ballots are to be mailed October 15th, I believe.
So we have to have identified who's a staff voter by September 1st, is that correct?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Miguel.
Well, there is a problem here, and I think that one of the things that we need to recognize is that there is a serious problem in terms of having some kind of organizing list. For instance, we have a union in WBAI, and there is a real problem with getting a list, like who's the staff. And it seems to me like something is out of control. Now, what I see that, and that's my experience dealing with this problem for the last 3 or 4 weeks, is that some people just want to sweep that under the rug. And I think if we don't have the problem, if we don't face the problem now, okay, let's face the problem in the next election. But we will create some kind of difficulty in the way and create some problem at the station, because somebody can complain, see names that they don't know where those people come from. They never seen those people doing anything at the station. And nobody have any supervision or any kind of way to verify names and to see, is that person doing anything? What is the job of that person? So it seems to me that we need
1 minute
to encourage those people to really come out with a list that we can, and they can have some control of the station, because right now I see like it out of control.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I think I'm next.
Yes, who would like to speak?
Mark. I'd like to speak.
That was in favor. We're ready for a con here.
I'm in the stack. Or go ahead, Kalanji.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Was someone? I was trying to speak against.
I was also this way, but go ahead.
I will too.
Okay. Well, I.
One
person to speak against.
All right. Thank you. This is the problem that I have, and I agree with what everyone has said. And I think that, I don't know, when I read the bylaws last year, I was new to the procedures. They were pretty clear to me on who was eligible, what the required hours were. And I don't necessarily see the problem with the paid, unpaid staff, and I prefer we stayed out of that. My concern, and I did have a real problem with this, I had to go to the local election, the national supervisor, et cetera, were the volunteers, which I think Alice attempts to address in her substitute motion, but I think that also goes too far. But I think we just need to assert the fact that we need to remind people that if you volunteer for 3 hours, that means you're not a member, you're not on the member roll, you're a volunteer on the volunteer roll, you're eligible to vote. And that was completely lost in the last election. And my concern is that neither one of these amendments sufficiently address that problem with people who volunteer and think that's their contribution to the station.
All right, would somebody
could
like
I
to
make a point of information
paper?
Here?
Here, here.
I need to make a point of information here.
Okay.
There are two classes of membership in Pacifica, listener members and staff members. You can be a listener member by donating $25 or volunteering 3 hours. That makes you a member eligible to vote as a listener. You can be a staff member by being a paid non-management employee of a station or being a, quote, unpaid volunteer staff who has worked at least 30 hours in the prior 3 months prior to the record date.
I understand that.
And the issue here is about unpaid staff and a lack of clarity in identifying, because we don't keep good records and we have never been required to do so before. That's the issue. It's got nothing to do with...
Well, Carol, I disagree with you on that, because I think the issue, this is what I'm saying.
No, the motion
Wait
a minute, Mark.
Well, no,
the motion
but
before us addresses unpaid staff.
Well, no, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Well, it does, and then it mentions volunteer and...
Well, we're talking about volunteer
staff.
Not volunteer
members.
All right.
Unpaid staff.
Okay.
But that's why I'm against it, because we don't talk about the volunteers, and they got left out the last election.
Well, Mark... this is Alice. Unpaid staff are volunteers.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
That's why this motion needs to just be tabled or voted down.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote it down, I hope. Marty,
let me vote it down.
Can we call a question on the motion?
I'd like to say
I second that.
Have we had two pros yet?
No.
Yeah.
That's why.
I can't hear what's going on.
Madam Chair, have we had two pros yet?
No.
Oh, we did.
No, we didn't.
Oh, we haven't.
One pro and two cons, and many just
well,
everybody talking when they don't like it.
Yeah, one more pro, and then
like
we'll
to
vote.
Pro.
Okay?
I would like to speak pro.
Okay.
This is Teresa.
Go ahead.
I'm opposed to this may not be perfect, but I'm opposed to Carol's suggestion that we postpone dealing with this issue for a year. Because if you're a staff, you might be one person, and you might have a
point of information, Madam Chair.
Wait a minute.
But she's not addressing the point, Madam Chair. That's
yes,
the point I'm trying
am.
To make.
Oh.
Carol's notion that he'll be addressing the next
Ray.
Election
Ray,
is not part
Ray,
of the
motion. You're out of order.
You're out of order, Ray.
Look, I can't even hear anybody.
I can't even think. Okay. I request that my time be started again.
Okay.
My issue is this. You have, let's say, 10,000 people, 10,000 members at KPFT, you have 300 staff. If a person's running for staff, you have 300 people that are potentially to vote in that pool. It's important that you make a proper determination as to who counts in that staff for voting. And I think that's what this is dealing with. Who is unpaid staff? And you can't have somebody come in at the last minute, like 1 month before the election, and say, well, I have 30 people here and they're staff. We've got to deal with this, and I don't suggest that we wait a year before we make some sort of rules as to, you know, how you put in your hours to be counted to vote as a staff member.
Okay, thank you, Teresa. Now, we've had two pros, two cons. Let's vote on this. Number four.
Madam Chair, may I just ask, I have an amendment, a substitute motion. At what point should I bring that up concerning number four, Salas?
You know, if I may,
yes.
Read it down.
Alice, your motion, substitute motion, deals with a completely different category of members.
Okay.
It has to do with listener volunteers.
Yes.
So let's vote this up.
Okay.
Okay, let's vote on this, please. Let's do that.
Here's the vote.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Dave?
No.
Teresa?
Yes.
Henry?
No.
Marty? Sam?
No.
Sonali?
No.
Ray?
No.
Ambrose?
No.
Miguel?
Yes.
Roger? No. Kalonji?
Yes. Yes.
Sarv?
No.
Mark?
No.
Vicky?
No.
Gerald?
No.
Wendy?
Whoops, no.
Serena?
No.
Alice?
No.
Carol?
No.
William?
No.
Yeses are 1, 2, and the rest are noes.
3, I got yes.
3 yeses.
How am I
next
so consistent
point
tonight? Oh, I'm sorry.
Denver.
Yeah, 3.
Bunchy, Miguel, and Teresa.
3 noes. 3 yeses.
3 yeses.
I move that we pay for Roger to get some typing lessons.
Oh, hearing aid.
I move that we just print in some ballots.
16, I got 3 yes, 16 no. It's not. This isn't typing at this point. It's some really
tired.
I know.
I'm playing with you, Roger.
All right. Number 4 fails.
But actually, if you want to front me for typing lessons, it might not be a bad idea.
Madam
we'll
Chair,
talk.
May I propose my substitute
fifth,
motion for number 4?
Well, does your substitute motion, I'm trying, does it deal with...
It deals with one half of the original number 4, non-staff volunteer eligibility.
But, Madam Chair, since we voted down 4, it seems like we should be on 5.
Well, I asked originally at what point should I make my amendment, which is the substitute motion.
I beg your pardon.
Alice, would you be willing for us to march through here and come back to that?
Well, I'm speaking for at least the chair of the... Elections Committee that she considered this important, but I'm willing to do whatever the body wants.
I'd appreciate it if
okay.
March through and then come back to it, because
mm-hmm.
I think it's slightly
okay.
different from what we were talking about.
Madam
A point
Chair?
Of information, Chair?
Yes.
This is Gerald.
Gerald.
Doesn't it explain in the bylaws that if you volunteer for 3 hours, you can vote, and that's
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah, her substitute motion is just to make sure we have records of who volunteered.
Right.
Oh, we didn't.
I see.
Point of order.
Right, let's move on to 5.
Point of order.
Yes.
I just wanted to be said to vote as a listener.
That's
important.
Right. That's correct.
They're not staff. They're
that's
voting
right.
as listeners.
Okay.
And I would like to get to
point of order, but
like
that's okay.
Like to go to 5 now.
Okay, we're 5, yeah.
Can we go to 5? Go ahead. Alice or
okay.
Sam or whoever wants
okay.
to.
Oh, whoever has it, I'll be happy to. Does someone else want to read it?
No, go ahead, Alice.
Okay.
That the national and local election supervisors' contract shall include a requirement that written reports be submitted to the National Board of Directors by the national election supervisor and each local election supervisor at the conclusion of the elections concerning the conduct of the elections, and that they ship the ballots to the Pacifica National Office for safekeeping at the conclusion of the elections.
Is this, does someone want to speak against this?
Madam Chair, it's just a very, very small amendment.
Yes, sir.
It just, where it says conclusion of the elections, that after directors, the report should also go to the executive director of the PNB,
That's the Pacifica National Office, sir.
I'm sorry?
That's the Pacifica National Office. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
No, the executive director.
That is the Pacifica National Office.
No, no, what I meant is, you know, the report now is going to the National Board of Directors.
No.
No, it's...
The end of the proposal is that they ship the ballots to the Pacifica National Office.
Those are just the ballots. But what I mean
he's
is...
He's saying the report should go to the ED.
Also go to the ED as well.
Gotcha.
Oh, I
see.
Yes.
Well, I also have an amendment because safety.
Wait a minute. We have to know if Sarv's amendment was seconded.
Well,
I second it.
But the officers, I mean the ED and the CFO, are ex officio members of the PNB.
So no, they are not.
They are officers of the board.
No, they are not.
Sorry,
okay,
I'm
confused. Yeah,
why don't you tell us what they are then?
Officers of the foundation.
Okay. Are officers
they're mostly just frustrated.
Thank you.
They are not officers of the board, and they are not members of the board.
And overpaid.
Hey, underpaid, putting up with this.
How do we know, Mark?
We don't know, evidently.
Hello.
So anyway,
that was a low blow. That was really not fair.
This is all in jest, public listening to this, and for the record.
Oh, yes,
right
here.
Yeah,
think about your
humor.
Could we continue?
Can we move, Madam Chair?
Hello, Sarv's amendment, which has been
Madam Chair.
Is that the executive director be included in the getting the written report?
Now, you said, Teresa, I will second that.
Yes.
Madam Chair, can I ask Saul a question?
Was it seconded?
This is Mark.
I seconded it.
Saul, could you put at the conclusion of the elections, like within 90 days or 120 days or something, instead of just open-ended?
Well, that's what I was wanting to speak to, the safekeeping aspect. I wanted to have it 5 years at the National Archives. That those ballots be kept for 5 years. I would really appreciate adding that as an amendment.
Point of information or order or something. We have an amendment. We have to deal with it.
We have an amendment.
And I want to point out that the bylaws specify that the ballots must be kept at the national office for 3 years.
You know.
And that's what the bylaws say.
Madam Chair.
Good enough.
Madam Chair.
Anyone want to... is there any objection to adding the executive director into the people who get the report?
Is that the motion?
That's the motion.
That the report would go to the national board and the executive director.
Right.
Correct.
Not the amendment.
Yes.
Well, I had one about by 120 days.
Can you wait until we get through this?
And
come on, Carol. We're working.
One at a time. Point of order. Carol's right. You've got to address each motion to amend one at a time.
Yes.
I'd like to speak against it.
Is any objection to just this amendment?
Yes, I object. This is Samuel Kateka, Houston.
Okay.
And Marty, I'd like to say a word on it.
Marty, meantime, I have to step off for a moment. I'll be back shortly.
Okay, thanks, bye. Dave. Go ahead, Sam.
Yes, I'd like to speak against this simply because I don't like the fact that safekeeping or a time is not specified in number 5, and I would like to have added that the safekeeping of the ballots be kept at the Pacifica National Office or specifically at the archives for a period of 5 years. I didn't read in the bylaws where it specifically speaks to 3 years. Carol seems to be the only one that knows about that, but I'd like it to say 5 years, and that's why I'd like to speak to this. Against it.
Okay, and it's Dan.
Yeah, I just would want to echo Dave Adelson's earlier point regarding the importance board candidates and prospective board candidates and even sitting board members, how important it is to maintain a hands-off position in the elections process, ensure that there is not an appearance of a conflict of interest. In order to assure that the elections have legitimacy and that a new PNB or a new LSBs have legitimacy. That's very important. Divorcing the elections administration process from those individuals that might stand to benefit from it in any way, such as being elected to the
Chair. I have a question, Madam Chair Sonali here.
Excuse me. Wait a minute. Dan, are you saying that just by virtue of getting a written report that the National Board of Directors is somehow, what are you suggesting in this number 5 that would compromise the...
But that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about whether the officer should get a copy of the report.
Well, I'm asking him if he thinks that somehow...
Bonnie just had something to say, too.
Well, please answer the question.
Yeah, please.
I'm just trying to get at what you're concerned about here.
Yeah, he'll answer the question.
Yeah, well, we want the process for an election supervisor to be independent. It's important that it be independent not only of the national office, but of the sitting board or prospective candidates as well. If you create a reporting relationship of the election process, make rules around the procedure, and have that person, in fact, report to you in particular ways, they're no longer independent. They are. If, for example, if the President of the United States...
Oh, God. What?
As a conclusion?
Come on.
Oh, really? This is a report.
Please, let him finish.
You guys have your opinions. I don't break in with awe.
Go ahead, please.
So then,
same respect.
Please go ahead.
I can do that, too.
Please don't.
Okay, that point may sound academic and it may sound like it's picky, but I assure you that candidates for presidency and other offices don't have the registrar of voters reporting to them. So it's really that way.
Okay.
So, Madam Chair, may I respond?
Just a moment. Yes, Alan first.
First of all, it is in the bylaws that the National Board must receive a written report from the National Election Supervisor. This is part of the duties of the National Board. It is the end process, as I understand it, for the National Election Supervisor.
Which ought to be certification. That's what I think. It ought to be certify the results of those elections.
You're interrupting, Lonnie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, this is the process itself described in the bylaws, so it is necessary for the board to receive this report so that we can make better policy for the next year, perhaps. So I don't understand at all why this is some question in your mind.
Alice, when will we get the report?
This is Carol.
At the conclusion of the election.
At the conclusion.
Carol, you have
okay.
All right, if I may, did you say Carol?
Please.
All right. A written report is not reporting to someone. It is part of the certification process to send a report regarding the conduct of the elections to the board and, as per this amendment, also to the executive director. The board and the executive director receive the report at the conclusion of the election so that it's as part of the certification process. The election supervisor does the supervising. The national board and the elections executive director can't reject the report, and I beg to differ. All of the election supervisors around the country send a report to the Secretary of State. This is normal. The reason we need the report is so that we can, the election supervisor presumably would point out any problems so that the next board can maybe, or the executive director can adopt policies to keep improving our election procedures, because we're new at this and we need to keep learning.
Madam Chair,
that's
can we
the
vote?
The whole point here is to get a report so that we can learn to do better in the future.
Can we vote, Madam Chair?
I would love to vote.
All
I've
the questions.
Lost track of our pros and cons, however, so I'm sorry to say. So,
Are we calling
have two pros and two cons.
Point of order, we're still discussing Sarv's amendment to the main motion as
correct.
To add the words executive director.
Yeah, I mean, we totally got off track.
Can we just say that without objection? And
what are we talking about?
Can we adopt this without objection to add in executive
Yes, we can. Yes.
Would you mind reading the change, Roger?
You want me to read
it? Sarv,
go ahead.
Okay. That the national and the local election supervisors' contracts shall include a requirement that written reports be submitted to the National Board of Directors as well as the Executive Director by the National Election Supervisor.
That's it. All he did was insert the National
Executive
Director.
ED.
That's all. Okay, let's go.
Okay. Can we vote on the amendment?
I object to it.
Okay, well,
who was I?
This is Samuel Kateka, and I'm objecting simply because I'd like to have the term 5 years added, safekeeping at the national office for 5 years.
We're already voting on.
But you're not objecting to this. You're
point of order, that would be an amendment to the amendment.
Why don't you offer another motion?
Point of order, if I may.
Can we... Go ahead, Carol.
I think we need
all
to
right.
vote.
Just for clarity's sake, we vote on Sarv's amendment, and then Sam can make a proposed amendment to the
name. That's exactly right.
That's what I'm.
That's what we said.
All right. So, are there objections to Sarv's amendment?
No.
Okay.
Oh, Gerald.
Well,
Madam Chair, this is
Gerald. Okay. So that's good.
So could we just hear Sam's amendment,
Madam Chair?
No.
Sam, what is
your
amendment?
Wait a minute.
The amendment that I'd like to add to five is that the ballots be kept for 5 years, the safekeeping be defined as a term of 5 years at the Pacifica National Office.
Madam Chair.
Point of information.
Your brother.
This is Sarv. Point of information.
Yes, Teresa first and then Sarv.
Okay. Sam, you might want to look to item number 8 and see if you'd like to put your amendment in there, because they talk about putting the list of members' PIN numbers retained in a sealed container in the archive.
Yes.
You might want to put it there.
No, that's a good point, and I'll hold back. Thank you, Teresa.
I do want to just remind people that the reason why we have number 5 is that some of the local supervisors did not have it in their job description that they would give a report. And did not give a report. So when by the time we asked them for the report, the question was, do we pay them extra money for the report? So Alice is correct, and Carol is correct, that the purpose of the report is so we get some feedback so we can improve the process every time.
Okay. Madam Chair, I would like to call the question on SAR's amended motion to number 5.
We passed it already.
I passed it already.
Oh, can we vote
on the main motion?
So I think we're waiting for Sam to...
No, I've recalled it.
Oh, okay. All right, so can we move on to 6?
No, we have to vote.
On the whole amendment.
On 5, we have to vote.
Which we can do without objection.
Only number 5. All right, let's call the roll.
Unless it's unanimous.
I was asking, is there any objection?
To 5.
But if there was no objection to that.
No objection.
No. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Unanimous consent.
Gotcha. All right, excellent.
Okay. Item 5 passes without objection.
Your mind?
Wonderful.
As amended.
There's 6.
6 is that the election supervisors are directed to enforce the fair campaign provisions in a timely manner, determining sanctions within a few days of infractions. In addition, when dealing with a serious infraction that the perpetrator knew or should have known was not allowed, it is better to err on the side of strictness so as to discourage other would-be infringers. When dealing with minor or possibly inadvertent infractions, it is better to err on the side of leniency. When a complaint is filed, the local election supervisor should promptly notify the candidate, investigate the facts, render a decision, and notify all concerned in writing.
Madam,
I'd like to speak opposed.
Madam Chair,
go ahead.
Against it.
Yeah, this is where, there's a lot of vague language here, like erring on the side of leniency. I mean, what does that mean?
Okay. Did I hear Lonnie? Did you want to speak?
No, I'll pass on this one.
Okay.
I would like to speak, Madam Chair.
Okay. Just a moment, Mark. I'm just wondering if there, you've...
I'm against.
Maybe there are some other people who have things to say.
Yes. That's what I'm wondering. Is anybody would like to speak against besides Mark?
Yes, I would like to speak against it.
And who's that, Gerald?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Gerald.
Look, sometimes a motion may sound logical or it may be well-intentioned, but how you actually carry it out in the real world is another matter. I'm not exactly sure what a timely fashion is, timely manner. I'm not sure how this thing would play out. I don't have it clear in my mind. It is a bit vague. I would have to say that this one here is not going to help us right now, because it seems to me it's just introducing confusion and possibly unnecessary acrimony.
Would you like to take favor of it?
I will. This is Teresa. I will.
Okay, Teresa.
I think that we want to tell our supervisors that they should, render their decisions in writing. I don't think I disagree with Gerald that this is going to cause conflict. I think this is a way to deal with conflict. If you have somebody that's done something that's an infraction, then you're going to have some pretty passionate people that are concerned about what the decision is.
And this is just giving our election supervisors a little bit of guidance as to what they're expected to do to deal with those conflicts. And I think it sounds reasonable.
No, he does not.
I don't think it's going to tie us up, but that's just my opinion.
Okay, another con.
I'll speak against.
Okay, William.
The problem with this motion is, I mean, it's already been said that the language is really vague, and we are sitting here trying to put all these safeguards into place as a board, and I think it's really irresponsible of us to be putting